This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back. Hour number 3 here. Jeremy Con, Ed Norris with you. We welcome in Ken McCusick from FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Ken, how are you today?
Life's good, Jeremy. How about you?
Very well, very well. Now, let me get your take real quick, and let's start with the defense, because, you know, they got turnovers, but there were some things out there. The big plays concerned me. What did you see overall with the defense?
Yeah, they came back at least. The diamond quarter in the second half played extraordinarily well. They had 8 plays out there with 6 or 7 defensive backs, 6 actually in the second half, and that included 2 sacks, 3 turnovers. So they played excellent dime defense, and that won them the game. But they had a lot of problems in terms of their cornerback play, particularly the third corner. So I don't know how often this happens, Jeremy, but you can probably take a wild guess at about how often. They had 2 cornerbacks benched in the same game. Not hurt, benched in the same game. Armour Davis and Stevens both got benched for giving up big plays in a relatively short appearances. And by the middle of third quarter, the Ravens are down to Pepe Williams, who I probably think is their third best cornerback to play the slot. So, you know, with Buffalo coming to town, I am not right now sure the Ravens can line up against 11 personnel, which the Bills probably run 85% of the time. But the Bills also ran 1-10 personnel play. And if they were looking at the Ravens and studying ahead, I'd be a little concerned that they're thinking, this is Baltimore's weakness. We really need to exploit them. Let's force them to put 4 cornerbacks on the field, because it looks like they can't even really find 3.
Yeah, I'm not very happy about the matchup with the Bills either. Let's talk about something positive. You know, people keep pointing to the Kyle Hamilton takeaway, the strip, which was great. But I think Marcus Peters did a great job on that too. How did he play overall?
Yeah, Marcus Peters had a terrific game. Probably his best game as a Raven, with contributions to 3 potential turnovers. So he had the forced fumble on that long pass, which Queen was unable to recover. It looked like he was in perfect position. And then he had the fumble recovery zone right on the sideline that I looked at in real time. I couldn't believe that he got it, but then there's no doubt. It's almost like an interceptor's fumble recovery.
It was amazing.
Get control of that ball so quickly. And then, of course, the interception was a fairly easy play on an overthrow. But, yeah, he's in the right position, and that's something that he's done better than just about anyone in the history of the game. So really used the sideline well early in the game. You know, had the big stop on the 2-point conversion. It was just a game of highlights for Marcus Peters, and it's great to have him back at this level.
Talking to Ken McCusick of FilmStudyBaltimore.com. Now, Ken, what about the running backs? Got to see Dobbins back. Hill ran the ball well. Not much from the other two guys that were kind of the two that we were seeing getting the bulk of the carries, if you want to call it that, the first two games.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good thing for the Ravens. The Ravens haven't done much with their elder running backs the last couple of years. With Davis and Drake have not done much this year, obviously. Last year, DeMarco Murray. Now, have I got that wrong?
Not DeMarco.
Latavius Murray.
Yeah.
And Freeman. Did not do well, but Hill seemed to have the primary job. He had a great game the previous week against Miami as a pass blocker. He was terrible this week, so he really unfortunately lost that. But he ran the ball very effectively. I thought he gave the Ravens a speed element that I liked. Dobbins, it's good to see him. Had a very nice shifty twisting spin move on one of his early carries for about 3 yards. Good to see him back there, caught a couple passes. So I think you will see those guys as the primaries for the next few weeks. And I think when Edwards comes back, I think we probably see one of the veterans go.
I hate to keep bringing up again, but How important is Ricard to this offense? He seems to be in pass pro. He's important as, you know, as a running blocker. He's important. Like, what's his value to this offense?
He's absolutely critical. And, you know, I went out on Twitter and whatnot. I was saying how happy I was that Boyle was returning to this game. And I think this is the best way to see it. But Boyle returned, and Oliver still outsnapped him 24-4 on offense in this game. Now, what that means is that they were using Ricard as the extra inline tight end. And now with Moses, who really was getting a lot of the help in the early week, and now Fa'alele on the left side, they really need an extra guy in line to help those tackles. And Ricard has been the guy so far. So, you know, he's on the field more than any individual running back at this point. So he's so central to the offense. If something were to happen to him, I really don't know what they'd do.
Well, what about let's get to the offensive line play and what we saw from them, because seeing another left tackle go down, still waiting for Ronnie Stanley, what'd you see from not only the outside but the interior of the line?
Okay, well, let's start with Fa'alele, if that's okay. First of all, there's no doubt about it. He got an F for the game with two sacks allowed to Dedrick Wise in that first half, and they both came relatively early in his stint in the first 10 or so plays. But he settled down and actually had a very good second half with only three missed blocks, converted everything else he did. So I'm at least encouraged by that. But yeah, tough game for Fa'alele. Does not really seem to have the feet to play left tackle. I thought they made some decent adjustments to help him on that side, including having Ricard, you know, get out there and make a block in front of him and then him pick up the loose change afterwards. So I think they did some good things to help keep that side clean. If I move to the inside, Tyler Lindebaum really had his first outstanding game as a pro. Three missed blocks, but no negative events as I had scored. It's a high A after adjustment. So real good game from Tyler. And this is what the Ravens, you know, hoped they were drafting in terms of this game. And really a big step forward from his first two games.
What do you think Lamar's contract is going to be if he keeps playing this way?
Yeah, I mean, he's playing outstanding football, that's for sure. I'm bothered by it all the time, but I'm even more bothered that if they waste a year out of Lamar's prime by not having the other positions covered in a good way. But he played outstanding, didn't get great protection during the game, and still roamed the pocket very effectively and made throws. A lot of touch throws in this game. I was a little concerned that he wasn't firing the ball on a line or, you know, any of the deep artillery shells like he's had these first couple of games, but he made a real nice pass on a laser to Bateman on the left sideline for 34 yards that ended up being a good play. So, and the design runs, they just continue to amaze that everybody knows Lamar Jackson's probably one of going to be the one keeping the ball, and yet somehow he gets free for these long runs.
That one flipped Andrews is kind of cool.
Yeah,
that was another good one.
Out of the Chiefs playbook.
Yeah, well, the Chiefs were trying that on Sunday too, and it didn't work out all that well for them. But Ken McCusick, filmstudybaltimore.com. Next week's going to be a fun one to talk about. Where can everybody find your breakdowns for this week?
Yeah, on filmstudybaltimore.com. And if you want it, there's 3 hours of offensive and defensive podcasts, an hour of Know Your Foe, and two articles that you can digest in just a few minutes if you want that.
Ken, appreciate your time as always, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Take it easy, guys.
All right, there you go. Jim Hunter joins us at 8:30. But up next, the Pro Bowl will be replaced by a week-long competition and a flag football game. I'm coming out of retirement. Smart move. We'll talk about it next here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
I think I just scared the hell out of Joe because I was in here and I forgot that I left my coffee on the counter and ran out, and I come back to hearing music. So, yeah.
Coffee still would have been there. You could have just waited or said, hey, can you go get my coffee?
It took me a second. Do you see how fast I ran? Dude, I'm getting back in shape.
We'll talk about it in the meeting.
For the Pro Bowl. There's flag football in the Pro Bowl.
That's not going to work because your spine is shaped like a question mark now.
That's true. So let me ask you, Ed, what do you think of the Pro Bowl? Because as much as people crap all over it, it still pulls in decent ratings. But it's such an awful product. Because when you put guys out there that don't care about the game, that's what comes across. When you let kids call plays from the sideline, that's what comes across. I'm kind of happy that they're switching something up. I don't know that a flag football game is the right thing, but I don't think they need to have it anymore. But the NFL is not just going to give up something where they make money.
Yeah, I thought they could have been a little more creative than flag football, but I don't care. The Pro Bowl is so bad. It's the worst of the four All-Star games, hands down. Baseball, the best. The others, like, I think they suck, but the Pro Bowl is just unwatchable. It's just unwatchable. I think the basketball one is stupid. Nobody plays defense. You score, like, you know, the under's like, you know, 380. It's just dumb.
So the thing that they did this year changes a little bit because in the fourth quarter, now they're playing to a certain number and then guys do play defense. But why not do that every quarter? Why not see these guys play to the best of their ability? But no, they'd rather have the 172 to 168 games instead of actually having a really good basketball game.
But, I mean, as far as this, I've always said they should have like a skills competition. I don't know why they don't do other. There's other things I would do than have a flag football game. I think it's the least creative, dumbest idea. I would have, like, a little Olympics. I would have, you know, like, the, you know, say the Dolphins versus the Ravens. You have guys having a relay competition or something. Think about that. So you have Tyreek Hill and Waddle and Mostert versus Lamar and I don't know, DuVernay and who else.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. I think you have a little relay. Because it would actually, because it's not just straight sprints. So the baton pass would be important and things. Have a weightlifting competition. Have a team competition as far as, you know, bench, deadlift, whatever. I think there's ways to do this that'd be really interesting.
But can you get the players to do it? Because like,
pay them, they do.
Well, I mean, you could say that, but in the like in the NBA with the slam dunk contest, guys are like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, but this is in place of the game, so it's like.
Well, I get that, but do they still want to? Because you've been selected to a Pro Bowl, do you want to go do what you're talking about? Like, I don't disagree with you.
The next guy. They always seem to populate the Pro Bowl. People, you know, decline all the time.
Yeah, but are people going to accept? Like, do you care if I'm going to throw out, like Tylan Wallace or whoever from the right. Like if they, all these guys turn it down, then all of a sudden he's a really fast guy and he goes and runs. It's the same thing I say about the slam dunk competition when the Indiana Pacers 10th man, a guy that never gets into the games has a 48 inch vertical or something ridiculous and he can dunk, but you don't know who he is. Like,
so your team,
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying I would watch. The question I would have is, can you get, you know, all these people
I don't
ready.
I mean, why not? It's like you come to play that stupid game. You get enough people to come to play the game. Why wouldn't they do this?
Maybe.
I mean, it's less prone to get hurt. You're still making money, well, and it could be fun.
I tell you what, no matter what they're switching it to, as soon as somebody gets injured, that thing's over with. Because you remember, they used to have all these events, and they had the flag football on the sand. And who was it? Robert Edwards, the Patriots running back, blew out his ACL on the sand. So that stopped. And then now they're bringing it back. But this was so much fun watching the quarterbacks and the, like, I love the quarterback competitions. I don't know what you do. We saw, what was it, Odell Beckham break the record of one-handed catches. Maybe you set up some sort of competition like that with receivers. Maybe you pair them. Like, hey, we're going to do a quarterback wide. You could have all sorts of fun with it. But I love the target throwing that we had with the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Even the long throw, watching these guys try to chuck it downfield.
Right.
I was into that. I enjoyed that.
So was
stuff.
I think it's fun. Like, you know, they do it in hockey, too, where they have the, you know, what, break dishes with the puck. You know, you take wrist shots and see if you can break five dishes in all the, you know, the five holes. And do that with, you know, with the football.
Yeah. I think it's definitely possible to do something to get people.
I mean, did you ever see the one Roethlisberger was working out? He used to do this. He'd have a trash can like 30 yards away and just try to throw as many in as possible.
Yeah.
It's like playing, you know, the basketball you'd be playing in the in game rooms, with the balls, you keep just taking shots at the basket. You know, have a time thing with the footballs. Have a basket somewhere, a bucket or something, or, you know, just one of those holes that move.
Yeah, have a fun thing with the kickers, with the different angles of kicking. Like, have them take it, you know, from distance and then
blindfolded.
Yeah, weird. I mean, there's all types of cool things you could do.
Yeah.
How about a moving goalpost if they could set it up?
Right. You know, yes.
I know it's corny and it seems like carnival-esque.
So?
But it's better than the game.
The game's terrible.
It's got to be.
The game's dumb and people do get hurt and it's still stupid. I just think they should do something. I think flag football's stupid because I can see somebody blowing their knee out doing that.
You watch your mouth. No.
You can't?
No. I could. I mean,
all these non-contact injuries, guys making cuts.
You see Sterling Shepard last night, his patellar tendon. Like, it's just like, man, I think that guy's career is over with now.
Really?
Just the injuries he's had and where he's getting to this point of his career. Maybe he comes back, but that's another long recovery, I think, for him. All right, let's go out to the phone lines. Let's get Kai in Reisterstown. Kai's on the fan. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, look, I respect everybody's opinion about football because that's all we have. That's our opinion. You know, I'm concerned about this game because of Leslie Frazier, to be honest with you, one of the best defensive coordinators ever. But, Jeremy, you kind of I want to kind of give you the shovel, but at the same time I want to ask you, man, because, you know, I listen to you with your picks, and I do win now, so I started betting with some of my picks. But you picked us to lose, the Ravens to lose against the Patriots, but win against the Bills. And I heard you this morning say now you think the Bills are going to beat the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, your reasoning for changing that bet, I just want to know because.
Well, hold on. I didn't make an official bet. I said I could see the Ravens. I did pick the Ravens to lose to the Patriots. And I'm telling you what, I'm going to pick them to lose to the Bills, too. But I said last week that I could see them losing to the Patriots and coming back and beating the Bills. It's what they've done before. Like, if you go back to when they first beat the Chiefs the week before, everybody's like, oh, they can't beat. There's no way they're going to beat the Chiefs. They have no shot. And they come out here and they wind up beating the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, I believe.
Well, I think I'm not going to listen to you on this one. I think I'm going with my heart. I think we take the Bills. Be our first home opener. You know, we got JPP.
No, they already had the home opener.
Hopefully JPP is activated. And, Josh Allen, he's a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He definitely got to watch out for Stephon Diggs. Like I said, Leslie Frazier going to throw multiple different dimensions, to try to stop Lamar Jackson. But my key is the running game. And I love what Greg Roman did as far as dumping the pass off. He looked like Dobbins looked like Ray Rice when he was dumping that pass off to him. So I hope he, explore more options in the passing game to the running backs, and I think we'll be okay. But Jeremy, come on, man, he can't flip flop. Like,
what? Go ahead and bet your money on the Ravens. I think you're going to lose again. I hope I'm wrong with this because anytime I'm wrong on the Ravens, I'm fine with it because as long as they keep winning, it's great for business. I've said this time and time again. I don't know why people do this when you pick against their team. Do you want me to come out and tell you they're going to win every week?
You're going to go 17 games just better than the Ravens?
Yeah, and again, you might end up going 10-7, 11-6.
Well, that's kind of why I used to do it because I knew I would always be way over 500 picking them.
But that's straight up. I'm talking about the point spread. They're 3.5-point underdogs right now. 3.5-point underdogs. And guess what? Guess where most of the money's coming in? So it's funny. Like Mark Viviano tagged me in a tweet about the Colts game. And I was explaining reverse line movement. Mm-hmm. So the Colts game this weekend with the Chiefs was the most heavily bet game of the week.
Was it?
The Chiefs and the Dolphins-Bills game were two of the most heavily bet games as everybody was betting the Bills and everybody was betting the Chiefs. And I get it because those are the two of the best teams, right? They're both favored. And then when you see a game where money's coming in, like I go to these consensus reports and I see where all the money's coming in, public money. There's so much money coming in last week on the Chiefs. Obviously, one of the most heavily bet games you're going to pick. Now, you're not going to take the 0-2 team that just got shut out against the Jags. But the line starts moving in the wrong direction, meaning the Chiefs are favored by 5.5. So if all the money's going on the Chiefs, which way should the line go? It should go to 6, then 6.5. Well, why did it go to 5, then 4.5, then 4? And eventually it was bet back up to 5.5 again. So there was some crazy line movement in the end where people thought maybe it got too low. Or they were trying to middle that number at 4. But when it comes down to that, when you see that stuff, to me, that's the sharp money coming in, moving the lines. Sharp bettors are the ones that are going to really move the lines over the public.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing's happening this week with the Ravens and the Bills. Like it goes back to what I said the previous week. Like when the Ravens lost to the Dolphins, everybody was calling in that everything's wrong because you check the L box.
Right.
But when they win, here are people calling back, these same people like, oh my God, the defense is terrible, are now going to say the Ravens are going to beat the Bills, which can they? Sure. And I'm not worried about this one game. If they lose this, does that mean the Ravens can't go to the Super Bowl? No. I had somebody text me a quarter into the game last week. I hope you're listening, Pop. Well, Ravens aren't going to the Super Bowl. This team's not even going to the playoffs. And then they win the damn game.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Well, I wonder how many people still want Harbaugh fired today. Remember last week? He's got to go. He lost a game. They lost a game. So, people want the coaching staff fired.
So, Kai, when you make that bet and you lose your money, just remember, I'm going to be in Jamaica smiling on a beach.
Bet your money, take your chances.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, we're going to get to Jim Hunter. He's coming up next. We'll talk some baseball with him right here on The Fan. Welcome back. Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Con, Ed Norris here with you. Rob Long is off. We welcome in our good friend. He's joining the program. Jim Hunter joins us from our Baltimore baseball tonight. Now, Jim, I wanted to get your thoughts on just this season's been... It's been a huge success, even not getting into the playoffs. But how comparable do you think this year is to that why not year?
Well, it's I think it's a they're comparable because nobody expected that year and nobody expected this year. But I think if you look at the talent that this team has, I think this team going forward probably has a little bit more potential because the guys that they drafted and developed and they brought in, plus the players that are left over from the Dan Duquette era, they're all contributing. You know, you look at Santander, for instance, 31 home runs now. He had two last night. He was a Rule 5 draft pick out of A-ball from the Indians by Dan Duquette. And he is showing that he is a legitimate power hitter. So I think, Jeremy, moving forward, you know, now – they're on the clock, if you will, because nobody expected this year. One more win, they have a non-losing season. Two more wins, they have a winning season. And now next year, they're going to be expected to contend. So it's going to be up to the front office to enhance this roster, maybe bring in some veterans that they know can play and go on from there. But it's comparable in the sense that nobody expected it. But I think this team versus that team has a lot more potential moving forward.
Jim, what do you think they're going to do as far as – I mean, obviously you can't win without starting pitching. They're going to try to see what happens when, you know, Grayson comes up and John Means comes back, hopefully early in the season next year, we'll see, and go that way? Or are they going to look for a front-of-the-rotation starter in the offseason?
Well, I would hope that they would go out and look for somebody like that. You know, they're at the point now, and, you know, let's remember, Mike Elias came from Houston, and when they got really good and won the World Series in 17 – they went out and got guys that they knew could play, including Justin Verlander. So what you would hope is, you know, Bradish has had a great year. He's figured it out. Kramer's had a great year. He's figured it out. We expect to see Grayson Rodriguez next year healthy and ready to go. But I would think that it would be in their best interest to go out and get somebody that they know can play. Now, one of the things they've done really well under Mike Elias is they've padded the farm system. So they have a lot of depth. They have a lot of redundancy, if you will, where, you know, how many shortstops do they have down there and how many outfielders do they have down there? Excuse me. So, you know, put some packages together, maybe make a trade, go out and get somebody that you know is going to win, enhance and make your rotation better and go from there. But you're right, Ed. It's all about the pitching, and the pitching has done better this year than anybody thought. The bullpen is fatiguing a little bit down the stretch, which you would expect because earlier in the year, you know, how many 4 2/3 inning starts and 5 2/3 inning starts did you get? You know, and that's by design. I mean, they do that. You know, it's analytics and whatnot. But I would think that they definitely need to and probably will go out there and look for either a free agent starter or somebody they can make a trade with using their depth in the farm system to make that work.
Hey, talking to Jim Hunter here on the Big Bad Morning Show, your take on Kyle Bradish, who pitches for the Birds tonight. I mean, you look at the numbers, especially in September, he's been pretty fantastic. You know, even the one hiccup where he went 4 2/3, he gave up 3 earned runs, 5 total against Toronto. But against Houston, the way he's pitched this year, Boston, Toronto, like, it doesn't even matter if it's a powerful lineup. Like, he's done a really good job. And you look at his ERA coming down slowly after, of course, being elevated early on in the season when he got knocked around a bit.
Well, you know, I think these guys this year, because of the opportunity, Jeremy, that they figure out what they need to do to succeed and to be able to give their team a chance to win. Now, he has 21 starts now in his career. Even though he's only 4-7, he's pitching much better as of late. And I think one of the things that I've noticed is they're more willing to challenge hitters now. They're not nibbling. They're not nibbling on the corners. They're really pounding the strike zone and enticing the hitters to put the ball in play and go from there. You know, his last start was brilliant. I mean, 8 2/3. He almost had a complete game shutout, but he couldn't get that final out, and they lifted him out of the game. But these are all learning experiences that going into the off season and reflecting and then coming into spring training next year are going to be beneficial not only for the team but for these players individually. And because they know there is more talent on the way, they know that this is their moment now because they're here. They're in the rotation. And they need to know, or the players in particular need to know, that they have to show what they can do. And I love how he has decided, okay, I'm going to challenge hitters. I'm going to go at them. Two of his starts in September, he hasn't allowed a run. 7 innings, no runs on September 1st against the Indians, and then the start against the Astros the other day. So, you know, whatever they're telling them, whatever they're imploring them to do, they're succeeding. And I think the results are, when you go out there and you see what they're doing and you're seeing their approach being successful, I think that really bodes well for the future and bodes well for them.
Speaking of the future, let's look at next season. Expectations are different. When they go to the balanced schedule, and you know, you're not playing the AL East 19 times each, how does it benefit the Orioles more than other teams? Like, I'm talking about teams like the White Sox and the Indians, Guardians, the Guardians, teams like that, like in the weaker division, like the Central. Do the Orioles benefit more, or would that give them an advantage over these teams, you know, as far as the playoffs next year?
Well, I don't know, Ed, if it's necessarily an advantage, because they're going to play every team in the major leagues next year. So that means, you know, they got to play the Dodgers. You know, the Dodgers are a pretty good team. They have to play Atlanta. Atlanta's a good team. They have to play the Mets. The Mets are a good team. So, yeah, they won't play each team in the East 19 times. They'll play them 13 times each. Mm-hmm. But they're going to pick up games against teams that are very, very good, especially in the other league.
But still, like this, teams like in the Central get the, if you're good, you get to feast on your own division in this current system, and you know, so all, you know, we're going to play the Dodgers and the Mets and all those teams. But it seems like the current way it's structured, some of these teams, like, you know, if you win the Central, you may be in fourth place in the American League East.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, you look at the Central, and the Indians have already clinched, and they're the only team in that division above 500. In the AL East, 4 of the 5 teams are above 500.
Yeah.
So you're right. I mean, to go to battle as often as they have to do, and the rest of this season, they have 3 left with Boston, 3 left with the Yankees, and 3 left with Toronto. So the final 9 games are all within the division. They're 3.5 out of a wild card, the Orioles, 4 in the loss column, but they face very tough competition. So I agree with you. I think next year it will benefit them in the sense that they won't have the extra 6 games. You know, it's 24 games less against the East next year than they're playing this year, and they have been. So you would hope that that would lead to something. But, again, you got to take care of business. You got to go do what you got to do. And I don't know if you could just say, well, there's fewer games against the East when you factor in they have to play everybody next year, including all those powerhouse teams from the National League, that it's going to be that big of an advantage. But it certainly is going to help that it's certainly more balanced next year, and it should give them a chance to have a better chance of going forward for a playoff berth.
That's Jim Hunter. Jim, appreciate your time as always, and I'm sure we'll be checking in with you next week and hearing from you all the way through the playoffs. So it's going to be a fun ride here. Hope we'll see what the Orioles do this week and if they make it interesting down the stretch. But from all things considered, doesn't look like they're going to get in, but it should still be a fun. It's been a great season either way. It's been one of my favorite years covering the team because this was totally unexpected.
Well, you know what, Jeremy? It has been a great year because you're right. Nobody expected this. And here we are with 9 games to go. We're still talking about the possibility of going to the postseason. So we'll see how it works out. But I think this team has learned what it takes. I think going through this, especially with the fatigue factor going down the stretch, that's going to benefit them next year. And I think there's nothing but positives coming out of this year moving forward and looking ahead to next year.
Jim Hunter, appreciate your time as always, man. Have a good week.
All right, guys, you too. Talk
Thanks,
to you soon.
Jim.
All right, we're going to have a little bit of a conversation here because the World Soup is coming up at 9 o'clock. Got some fun stories for you there. One of the most petty human beings in the world. Tell you a nasty story. I mean, we're going to get to a lot of pettiness. But up next, what's a more impressive number in today's MLB? 61 home runs in a single season or 700 for a career? We'll debate that, talk about it, and take your phone calls. 410-583-1057. Welcome back. Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Conn, Ed Norris here with you. Now, Ed, the question we were asking, more important in today's game, 61 homers in a single season or 700 in a career. I've always felt the same way about this. Interested to hear your take. What do you think is more impressive?
700 in a career. I mean, to me, that's not even close. You can have a great season. And it's impressive what he's doing. I mean, obviously, if he breaks Roger Maris's record, it's incredibly impressive. That has stood for a long time. However, you know, it's like you're talking about a lifetime achievement of having these years over and over and over to get the 700 home runs. That's a, you know, to me, that's a really incredible achievement.
So I've always been more enamored with the guys that were consistent than just, like, Brady Anderson's 50 home run season is cool, but give me a guy that hits 30 to 35 every single year. That's, you know, yeah. I like that consistency. What Hank Aaron did, I don't think people realize it, because a lot of times when guys do their greatest of all time team, mm-hmm. and I get it, because look, if you can pick Mickey Mantle and Ted Williams and yeah, I mean, we can go on and on and on, Willie Mays and Barry Bonds with the greatest outfielders, it's hard to argue anyone. But I was always shocked at how often Hank Aaron got left off it, but all he did was show up every single season and hit you about 35 to 40 bombs. And continue going through, you know, it was like clockwork. Every year, you knew what he was going to do. Solid across the board. And I just think there's something a little bit more special about the consistency of it all. And that's why I would tip my cap to 700. Now, hitting 60-some bombs in a season can be difficult because you're looking at teams that may not pitch to you. Like, I'm surprised at how much they pitched to Aaron Judge down the stretch. And not just bad teams that don't care if they win or lose. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about teams that are in contention. Like, the Rays were pitching to them. They had a base open. I don't care if that base is third, second, or first. Because so many times I see first and third, and they won't intentionally walk the guy, but if it was second and third, they will, going, well, I don't want to put two runners in scoring position. Right. Look, I'd rather pitch to anybody but Aaron Judge. I mean, he's on a totally different level this year. I don't care righty, lefty, whatever. I don't want to pitch to him in those situations.
Yeah, at all. It doesn't matter. Man on third, man on first. What's the difference? He's going to get him home anyway, most likely. It's a really good chance. I don't understand either.
It's just unbelievable to me, man, that you know, we look at things like this. But hitting 60 bombs in a season, it is really special. And again, we don't know what guys were doing back then. We can guess what guys were doing nowadays. Do you still look at Barry Bonds as the home run leader when it comes down to it, or do you look at?
Yeah, I have to. I mean. I have to. I can't play what if and, you know, was he on this and how many home runs were hit while he was juicing? And I don't know. It is what it is. It's just, he did it. The numbers are there. He did it. I mean, you can put an asterisk next to it. You can judge him, say he doesn't, I don't know, but he did it.
Well, I guess I'd be curious to see too, because when we get the 700 home runs, A-Rod just missed, but you look at his suspensions, but we have Pujols, Ruth, Aaron, and Bonds. It's almost like anytime we talk about the home run records, I bring up Barry Bonds and Hank Aaron, their numbers, not calling one the leader or whatever, you know, 755, 762, but they're all so impressive. But we've had more guys have what, 60 homer seasons than we have guys reach 700 yeah. home runs. Yeah. So I don't think it's as much of a debate, but singularly it is, by the way, me getting that word out without screwing it up, I should win an award for it.
I'm impressed.
Thank you. It's one of the hardest. Regularly and singularly are two words that I, for whatever reason, I butcher every time. But But you're talking about showing up every single day. It's staying healthy. It's
year after year.
Yeah.
And that's like not having a season-ending injury and coming to work every day and say, getting your 35, 40 home run years, you know, on a consistent basis for your entire career, which spans over 20 years. That's an amazing feat.
Yeah, there are four guys that did it. And right. As I look at it, Bonds, 22 years. Hank Aaron, 23 years. Babe Ruth, 22 years. Albert Pujols is in his 22nd season. Mm-hmm. You need to have longevity.
Right.
You need to stay healthy. And doing it for a single season, you got to get on a tear and maintain it because I think the pressure builds when you get around that number.
Well, people stop pitching you, too.
Yeah.
Except for that game. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, it's been, you know. I've just been utterly shocked. The Blue Jays, the Rays, even the Red Sox. It's like, Red Sox I can kind
of
get just
they're
because
out yeah.
they're out of it now.
Yeah.
But still, why? Like, they were playing the Guardians and the Twins, and I'm going, why are you guys pitching to him? It just doesn't make sense, but he's having an incredible season. But you know what? As soon as the playoffs start, I'm interested to see who does what because I actually I accidentally did it, but I did a best ball for playoff postseason,
mm-hmm.
you know, drafting players who you think are going to go far. So I have a lot of Mets, Dodgers, and Astros on my team because those are the three teams I obviously like.
Right.
And I think most people would, too. There's some Braves. They're sprinkling in some other players. Yeah. But Aaron Judge, I was watching as everybody was doing it. Aaron Judge lasted to, like, the second or third round, even though he was rated as
really?
The top player. Well, because I don't think a lot of people are believing in the Yankees right now.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is kind of, it might be a little silly, because you can't tell me that Cole, Cortez, if they're going to throw Montgomery out there, or if it's going to be Severino, whoever they decide to toss out there. That those guys can't get it done. They clearly can. It's just their hitting lineup's finally healthy to a degree.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a 94-win team right now.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we talking about here? People are talking about them like they you know, they fell out of first place.
Well, and they also got their ass kicked by the Astros when they faced them.
But whatever. I mean, then they slumped for a while. You know, they were on a skid, but they still have 94 wins.
They were on pace like the Dodgers, except the Dodgers kept pace.
Yeah.
You know, it's just I think if you're writing them off, you're sadly mistaken just because that's still a really, really good team. But here come the Blue Jays playing great baseball, and they have the pitching to get it done as well. So it would be fun, not that I'm rooting for the Blue Jays. I'm pulling for Mancini and the damn Astros. Ugh. But that's what I'm doing. And I think whoever comes out west, I think everybody's looking at three teams. You either think it's the Mets, Dodgers, or Braves. I've seen very few people go, oh, the Cardinals could make a run, or the mm-hmm. Padres can. I mean, the Padres have all the pieces to put it together, but
yeah,
I just don't see it happening. So we'll find out. But again, to me, the 700 is way more impressive because of the longevity, how long it takes to actually get to that point. But we have we're going to storm the castle at 9:15. The Daily Line, I'll give you my picks. Yesterday went 2-1 of my picks. It was a light day, but World of Stupid. So, Ed, I'm going to tell you, we talked about pettiness. One boyfriend who broke up with his girlfriend was forced to pay her some money, and just how petty was he? We're also going to tell you a story about extreme pettiness, a man who visits his ex-wife's grave every single year, but he's super petty. We'll tell you why. And a woman that was hospitalized for 3 days because her dog had diarrhea on her face. That's coming up in the World of Stupid here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.